says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat, mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord to us. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and take your seat. Such an amazing and powerful story, and I you know me enough. I dislike using that phrase "story" when it comes to God's word, because it's not a story. A story sometimes depicts something that's fictional, something that's not real. No, this is God's word. This is an actual event. So what happened there is factual and actual. Amen. And I find this particular rendition, this particular account, so overwhelming and so powerful. And it's such a vivid picture. You know, you can picture your own house, and you can picture so many people in your house that they're flooding out onto the sidewalk. They're flooding out into your hallway if you live in a condo or an apartment. You know, they can't get in. It's so packed. And then all of a sudden, you sort of hear people, and you could hear a commotion. I can almost play it in my mind. There's a commotion. And people are probably yelling, "Get out of the way! Get out of the way!" And it was like, "No, I was here first." You know how people respond. And then they figure out, you know what? But we got to get this friend of ours to Jesus. We've got to do something to get him to Christ. And think about this. They go up on the roof. Now, in those days, a house didn't have what we would like, the kind of roofs we had. A lot of times they had like a mud roof with grass and things, and maybe some clay tile. So it was a little bit of effort and work to break through someone's roof, just like it would be today. It's an effort to get through someone's roof. But these guys not only broke through the roof, they somehow first hauled this man up there. You know, did they have the ropes? Where did they get the ropes? And then they dug through and lowered him down. Could you imagine the people underneath? Dirt would have been falling on their head. What's going on? Can you imagine the owner of the house? "So what are you doing? You're wrecking my house." But they had to overcome all these obstacles for what? To get to Jesus. Friends, there's something so powerful in these verses that I want us to just be gripped by them. And the simplest thing is this. Those are the kind of friends I want. When I can't get myself to Jesus, when I'm hopeless. This man was paralyzed, the Bible says. He couldn't move, couldn't walk, couldn't get himself to Jesus. And these four men said, "You know, we'll do it. We'll carry you there." You know, this week, I cleaned out my briefcase, my book bag, and Rachel was on me for weeks and weeks and weeks. She said, "What do you have in there? It's so heavy, I can't even hardly lift it." And the truth is, I just had books. I had lots of books and old notes and old messages, and I had a whole binder of that. And not that it was bad stuff, it was good stuff. But you know what I realized? I'm carrying around things that I don't necessarily need. Come on. Do you know what the new year provides us for? It provides us this opportunity to reflect on life and sometimes put down or put aside things that we don't totally need. Doesn't mean they're wrong, doesn't mean they're bad, but we don't need them. And it allows us to pick something up
that we do need, that is helpful, that is healthy. Amen? Listen, at the end of the day, friends, we all carry a load. Come on. If you're a parent, you carry a load. If you're a grandparent, you carry a load. If you're a friend, you carry a load. There's a load every one of us carry. And we should never say, your load is lighter, your load is heavier, you should take more, you should take less. No, no, no. God graces us to carry the load we carry. Amen? So remember that. If there's a, and I love Pastor Magnus last Sunday said this, whatever comes into our life, God knows about it. God has allowed it, and he knows about it. Whatever comes in. Amen? So we can rest in that. We can have confidence in that, knowing this, no matter what load I'm called to carry, God will give me the grace to carry it. Here's the question. What is the load we're called to carry as Port Church? We can't carry the load of every other church in the city. That's not our job. But we have a load to carry. And you know, this story so depicts for me the kind of church that I see we are and I only want to be more of. A church that loves people. A church that is willing to pick up and carry someone else when they can't carry themselves. And how do we carry people? Number one way you carry people is through prayer. That's the number one way we carry people. So let's dig into those verses this morning. That's my introduction. I hope it was somewhat helpful. And I think it's I think these are verses that will encourage us in multiple ways. So our main text today is these four friends carrying this lame man or this paralyzed man to Jesus. And this is really, and this has been our theme through all of January thus far, Christ through us. And I love this because these four men, and you know what the powerful thing is? We don't even know their names. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they ever show up in Scripture again. But you know, one day when I get to heaven, I'd like to meet those guys. I'd like to say, hey, what caused you to want to do that? What motivated you to carry that guy? Whose crazy idea was it to rip the roof off? Because we see something when that happens, something powerful, and Jesus' response encourages me, and I know it's going to encourage us. So here we go. In these verses, we see I should put my glasses back on. See, this is the problem with my glasses. Now, the problem is I'm going to have to take them on and off because I can't see you when I have them on, as I said earlier. Here we go. In these verses, we see what the church is called to do and be and what our lives as Christians should look like. So the first question is, where is Jesus? Maybe I'll just go like this. Where is Jesus? Because if you're going to carry somebody to Jesus, we have to know where he is. Amen? Come on, how many people think that's simple enough? These men knew where Jesus was. Chapter 1 says, chapter 2, verse 2 says, they gathered in such long numbers that there was no room left, not even outside. So outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So where was Jesus? He was in a house. Here's the question for us. Where is Jesus today? Come on, in us. But in us individually. Come on, how many people, I don't want to get too deep here, but he's in us individually. How many people know Jesus is in you? Give me a wave. But he's also amongst us. Come on now, go with you, you have your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Did I give you that one, Erwin? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If I just say it more times, it'll come up. Erwin, did we have that one or no? He's looking. Did you get it? Oh, there we go. It says this. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. So where is Jesus? Yes, 100 times over. He is in me as an individual, but he's amongst us. So if I'm going to carry someone, here's the power. It wasn't one man carrying that paralyzed man. It was four men. So do you know the power of the church is? Together we can do more. That's the power of the church. Together we can do more. Do you know, listen, I don't want to live my life by myself. I don't want to live my life where I have to carry myself to Jesus every day. It's not the way God ordained it. He said, no, no, you need to be a part of a body. So yes, 100 times over, Christ is in you as an individual, but he's also amongst his people. He is right here. So when we have service, when we gather together on a Tuesday, if we gather together in homes, Christ is present. You know why? There's a greater picture of Christ when we gather together than when I gather by myself. I don't carry the fullness of everything Christ is. No, no. When I gather, I see something in Margaret. I see something in Roma. I see something in Gina and Libby and Dorothy that adds to who Christ is. Because look what it says. We all are a part of it. Each one of us is a part of it. So where is Christ? He's here in his church amongst his people. So when you're thinking about carrying people to Jesus, number one, prayer. We carry people with prayer. Number two, we bring them into community. They've got to experience something else. They've got to experience life amongst us. They've got to experience Jesus in a bigger place than just me. Amen? So where is Jesus? He's with us. He's in his people. Mark 2 says this, and we can go back to Mark 2. He preached the word to them, and I love that. In Mark chapter 2, I got to move my note there. In verse 2, it says this, and they gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door. And look what he did. This is all Jesus did. You ready? He preached the word to them. Isn't that powerful? See, I love God's word. And I think this is, I've said this often, Pastor Magnus is one of my favorite preachers. You know why? He preaches God's word. I love God's word. And there's, we believe this, God's word has the power to change a life. That's why we love God's word. That's why we lift up God's word. And listen, this crowd gathered to hear the word of God. Friends, don't ever underestimate the power of God's word. At the beginning of the new year, we said this. We're making a commitment to something. We're going to commit, what did we say? To prayer. We're going to commit to God's word. And we're going to commit to the mission. Friends, in this story, in this picture, we see all those things coming together. We see how all those things work one together. It's not just one, but it's all working together. So he spoke God's word, and that's what gathered this great crowd. So what was the crowd drawn to? But they were drawn to Jesus as he preached the word. So we're thankful for the word today. And we love this. So verse 3 says this in chapter 2. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four men. Verse 4. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Verse 5, and I love this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I'm struck by something. I'm struck by something when I see those words. I'm struck by something when I read those words. I'm struck by the love those four men had. I'm struck by the faith those four men had. I'm struck by the tenacity those four men had. I'm struck by the fact they would not let an obstacle stop them. Do you know what I think really sets people apart? And I think this is true in a practical way. It's true spiritually. I've seen it for years. This is what sets people apart. Not that they're awesome. Not that they're amazing. Not that they're better than their neighbor. Do you know what I think sets people apart? A tenacity to not let go of Jesus. Listen, if you've been in church long, in any amount of time, you see people who get fired up and then let it go. You see people, oh, it's the most amazing thing ever. 6 months later, you don't see them. And then you run into them on the street. Where have you been? Oh, I'm on a different journey. Okay. Now, I still think there's hope for them. I don't think that's a hopeless situation. No, there's hope. But tenacity to hold on to Jesus, a tenacity to get to Jesus no matter what. Friends, do you believe there are people in this community that God Almighty has called Port Church to reach? I believe that with every fiber of my being. I believe God has set people aside that we need to reach as a church. And, oh, good catch.
And that's why when we talked two Sundays ago, I said, here's what we want to do. We want to start a kids program on Tuesday night along with our community night. Why? Why? Because I just think we need something to do? No. We want to carry those kids along with their families into Christ's body, teach them the word, pray for them, and watch what God can do. He will save their souls. Amen? That's the kind of thing that we see here. So where are we? I love the faith, the love, the care these four men had for this paralyzed man. And he could not do anything for them himself. He needed their help. That's the kind of friend I want to be. Come on, who's in your life right now that doesn't yet know Christ's love? Come, think of them right now. You see them. Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Is it a niece, a nephew? Who is it? Can you see yourself beginning to pray for them faithfully? Faithfully commit them to prayer. See, what does it mean to be a part of Port Church? Whether you realize it or not, you are prayed for faithfully. Faithfully, we pray for you. So I'm not just talking about something that I don't do myself. No, I faithfully pray for you. As our team faithfully prays for you. There's something powerful when you can commit people to prayer. Because prayer is our recognition that God is on the throne and God still works today. Amen? And I love the fact that these friends didn't give up. They didn't let the crowd stop them. Isn't it interesting how many times we let the crowd encourage us or not encourage us? Last Sunday, we had an amazing full house here at Port Church. And we said, God is so good. And this Sunday, you're here, God bless you, but there's a lot of empty seats. But you know, why should we let that discourage us? No. You know what I say? I say, thank God last Sunday we had a full house. Thank God today you're here, hearing God's word. Amen? Because all of us have a part to play. And I understand that there's for 100 reasons why people couldn't be here today. And that's okay. But you know what? When something happens in here, you're drawn back to his family. You're drawn back to who he is. So let's celebrate that. I love this in verse 5. Go back to verse 5 in chapter 2. It says this. Where's my glasses? I have to get into this habit. Here we go. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I love that. Think about this. When Jesus saw the faith of the four men carrying the paralyzed man, he said to them, "I see your faith." Isn't that amazing? That God himself lets our effort, lets our work play a small part in his salvation for souls. Listen, the four men didn't save him. The four men didn't heal him. All the four men did is said, we got to get him to Jesus. We got to get him to Jesus. We got to get him to Jesus. Listen, what should our mantra be? Get them to Jesus. They got to get to know Jesus. They need a revelation of Jesus. They got to see Jesus. Think of the most wicked person in your life. What do they need? They need Jesus. Think about the most moral person in your life. What do they need? They need Jesus. Think about you. Who do you need? You need Jesus. Amen? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is what we need. So when we are a church and we gather together, what are we doing? We're pointing people to Jesus. We're bringing people to Jesus. We lift up Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We pray to Jesus. We read God's word that are Jesus' words. It's all about him. Amen? Just like those four men, be tenacious about pursuing Jesus. And I'll tell you, friends, you can never lose. You will never lose when you pursue Christ. Never. You may look for a time like you lose. I remember years ago being a young guy, and I had lots of friends, and I was playing football. And I remember God was beginning to really get a hold of me. He's like, there's something more for you. And this is really when I began to really sense the call of God in my life to go into ministry. And I had these friends, good friends and nice people, but didn't know Jesus. Can we stop there and let your mind go where you want your mind to go? These are young men who like to play football and do lots of other things. You fill in the blanks? These were my friends. And I remember at that time, I was thinking to myself, look at that guy. He just got a great job. Why didn't God give me that job? I'm playing football. I'm hauling furniture during the day. I'm tired by the time I get to football practice. Tired. I have to send work out afterwards, and I'm still tired. Got to wake up tomorrow morning, go haul furniture again. I had a job hauling furniture. Do you know what the miracle there was? The guy I was working with got born again. Come on. His wife got born again. They still serve in the same church that I brought them to this day. So I can look at this and say, man, it looks like I'm losing. My paychecks were $495 every 2 weeks. I had friends making three times that, four times that. And I'll be like, God, why? It can look like you lose a little bit at the beginning when you serve Christ. It will always look like a loss. Always. We're not into it for the short game. No. We stay in the long game. Amen? We stay with Christ for the long haul. And now today I look at my life and I think, wow, thank God I stayed where God put me. Thank God I let Christ just do a work in me. And I didn't look at my job as my source. No, I realized Christ is my source. And I remember as a young guy, I began to make a commitment. I made a financial commitment to God. I said, God, I will tithe on everything. My family was like, you're nuts. What are you doing? You're giving 10% of your money to the church? Are you an idiot? I said, no. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm doing it. And I say this. Every day of my life since then, Rachel and I have never stopped tithing. Why? Because God is our source, not 10%. Listen, I have way more faith in God to do more with the 90 that I keep than the 10% I gave away. He has done so much more for us. This is not a message about tithing. This is a message about encouraging us to stay with Jesus. But you see this, he can be trusted. He can be trusted. So don't let the temporary setback, what looks like a temporary setback serving him, don't let it distract you. Because come on, let's think this through. It cost those men something to carry that paralyzed man. It took energy. It took perseverance. It took strategy. It took a willingness to not be stopped. Friends, let me say this. Don't let the crowd stop you. And I'm going to say one more thing that's going to sound even crazier. Don't let the crowd inspire you. Come on. See, as a pastor, I can say, oh, last Sunday was so good. Or I look at the church over there, and they have hundreds coming. Oh, I'm so inspired by that. No. I let God's word inspire me. I let obedience to Christ be my inspiration. Amen? I don't need the crowd to inspire me. I hope you know this, whether there's 10 of us, 50 of us, or 500 of us, I'm not going to prepare any different or preach any different. Why? Because Christ is my source. Christ is my reason. Christ is my motivation. Christ is why I'm excited, and I am excited to see what Christ does in us and through us. Amen? So don't even let the crowd excite you. When you come to church and you see lots of people, say, oh, isn't that nice? Be happy. And when you come to church and you see lots of empty seats, say, oh, isn't that nice? We got lots of room for new people. Isn't that awesome? It's all perspective. How do you see? Do you see empty seats or do you see room for your unsafe friend? Come on. What do you see? All I see is my friends. I see all my friends who don't know Christ filling up all those seats. Can you see that? Can you see that? Because, you know, it's an interesting thing what we see. Years ago, I taught on this. You ever realize when you drive your car, you have a rear view mirror? How many people know you have a rear view mirror? Why do you use the rear view mirror? To look behind you. But the windshield is this big. Come on, don't let your life be so distracted by what's behind. Keep fresh vision of what God has for you ahead. Amen?
God is so big ahead of us. Don't be distracted by this little thing that's behind. No, you know why you look behind? For reference. You say, oh, look where we were. Look where we are. Look what God did. Oh, look what God's doing. Look how bad I messed up, but look how faithful God has been. That's what the windshield does. Remember this, though. If you can't see your future, you'll always return to your past. And you know what the problem is with turning to your past? You miss out of what God has ahead. Don't miss out of what for what God has ahead for you. Amen? Here we go.
Our effort in verse 5, I love this in verse 5, I'm going to say this again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So our effort is a small part of God's plan. Jesus saw their faith. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. James 2, 14 to 17 says this. Do you have that, Erwin? James 2? No? Maybe? Oh, there we go. It says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? So what good is it? Can such faith save them? Verse 15. It says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, well and well fed. Now, remember, they have none of those things, so they really can't do that. But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Just leave that verse up there, Erwin. If faith by itself isn't accompanied with action, it's dead. Think now what Jesus says to these men. Look at it in verse 5. What did Jesus say to them? He says this in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Now, does that mean, now this could be true. Does that mean Jesus like spiritually looked inside of them and said, oh, faith. Is that the context? No. He could have, but I don't think that's what he did. Do you know what I think Jesus did? I think Jesus was sitting there talking and preaching. I think Jesus heard a commotion on the roof. I think Jesus had some mud fall on his face. I think Jesus went like this. I think Jesus saw a body being lowered by ropes. I think Jesus saw this. I think Jesus saw four heads peering through a hole and said, wow, I see your faith. You are tenacious to get this man to me. Think of this. Their faith impacted his life. Don't think for a second how you live doesn't matter in other people's lives. Don't think for a second your prayers are meaningless. No, your faith, how you live, how you serve people, how you love people impacts their life. Jesus didn't look at the man who was paralyzed and says, wow, your faith is amazing. No, he looked at his friends. Friends, listen. We have people in our life who don't know Christ's love. Your faith, my faith, our faith can impact them with Christ. That's the powerful thing we see here. This is so profound. Jesus looks at them and says, I see your faith. James says this, faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. It's not enough. So I said, prayer. How do we carry people in prayer? How else? You love them. How do you love people? What is love? To serve them and to sacrifice for them. Listen, it cost those four men service and sacrifice to bring them to Jesus. It costs something. But you know what? The reward is worth it. Amen? You let your effort work go. Let your effort out. When we see people desperate to get to Jesus, you see faith. Do you know, you know what's happened in me in the last couple months? As I see it more clear than ever, I'm more inspired than ever that God has people in this community for us to reach.
This is why I cannot wait to begin our kids program. I cannot wait to begin our Tuesday nights. And so you might say, well, why haven't you started? No, I want to build an excitement. I want to build a taste in your mouth. I want to inspire you to see what Christ can do through us. Amen? Christ through us. It doesn't say Christ through me. Christ through us, the body. Let's go reach people. You may say, yeah, but we're only going to run a kids program. Yeah. All they did is lowered a man through a roof. They didn't even preach. They literally ripped off a roof and lowered a man through. We're actually going to bring people to our building. We're going to share Jesus with them. And we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to do a work in their heart that only He can do. That's what our plan is. Every time we gather together, we experience this love because we gather as a church. How do you see the people in your life? How do you see your friends? How do you see your families who have not yet experienced God's love? See them. See them as people that God is pursuing. And begin to be like those four friends. Carry them. Carry them in prayer. Pastor Magnus gave Rachel and I a great idea. And I'm so excited to get this started as well. He said this. He says, you know what you should do? I said, what? He said, why don't you ask people in the church to write on a piece of paper the name of someone they're praying for, the name of someone they're hoping and believing that they will have an encounter with God. He says, and then write them down and put them in a little bowl. He goes, at the end of service every Sunday, you can lift up that bowl and say, Jesus, you see every name. We look to you. We lift up every name. We pray for every name. We want every person to come to Christ. Because you know what? That's how God works. Through prayer. Through our service. It's so crazy to think we serve people and God is in that. Simply by serving people. God is in the midst of that. So there's all these little things we're going to get going. I'm going to end with this verse because I didn't get through all these today. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Why do we gather people together? Why do we want people to come to Christ? Why do we want people to experience Him? Ephesians chapter 3 says this. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Wow. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, and look at this, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. What is the journey we're on together? That last verse. Why do we gather together on a Sunday? That last verse. Why do we pray together on a Tuesday? That last verse. Why do I say the church is a body? That last verse. Because you know what, friends? When we gather, you say something. You bring something that deepens the love of Christ in my heart. Christianity is this amazing thing. It's this amazing experience that is this. It's this personal encounter with Christ. In its conception, Christianity is this personal push. God does something in me. And then it doesn't stop there. He now puts you and me in part and into a body. And then together, we experience this. What do we experience? We begin to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's what church is. Why do I want, what is my motivation for wanting Port Church to grow? I can seriously sit here and tell you today, it's not my ego. Do you know why I want Port Church to grow? I want people to experience His love, man. I want people to their life to be changed. I want people's purpose to be clear as glass. So then we gather together, we say, wow, God's love is amazing. God's love is the thing that's drawing me. God's love is the thing that's propelling me. God's love is the reason I live. God's love is the reason I serve. That's the reason. Because you know what? Without that, friends, we're just like every other person. We're just like every other person pursuing what we think life has to offer out in the world somewhere. And none of that stuff's wrong. You want to pursue business, pursue it. I hope you're blessed. Money's a great tool. It's a bad god. Fame, fortune, success, whatever it is, they're not wrong. It's not evil. But they can never measure up to Christ. And if you've had any measure of success, you know what I'm saying is true. You know it. Because you say, you know what? I have Christ. In Him, we have everything. Amen?
Bow your head, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that we can begin to be encouraged, inspired by your Spirit to be friends like that paralyzed man had, carriers of the gospel, carriers of love, carriers of redemption, carriers of salvation, carriers of prayer. Lord, may we commit to being carriers of you. And Lord God, when we can't carry, may we always be reminded that when we come to church, we're being carried by one another. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, think about those last things I said in the Word. When we gather on a Sunday, do you know what that is? We're being carried to Christ. We preach the Word, we're carried to Him. We sing songs, we're carried to Him. We say prayers, we're carried to Him. Do you see how Christ never says to us, just carry, just carry, just carry? No, no, He says, let me encourage you. Let me strengthen you. Now go and carry. Christ never asks us to do something that He doesn't first empower us to do. Amen? And He empowers us. Now He says, go carry. Stand your feet with me.